10:38, Chris Elliott Show on WBAL, 410-467-WBAL is our telephone number. Toll-free long distance is 1-800-767-WBAL. With us in studio is the Libertarian candidate for the gubernatorial seat in the state of Maryland, Spiro Lancaster. Spiro, thanks. I appreciate you hanging in through the press conferences, both from Spotsylvania and then from Montgomery County.
Bravo.
And that's the kind of thing that happens on a day when there's continuing breaking news, and as we try to be responsible and make sure, it's a no-win situation. Because, folks want to hear your views. They're going to say, why did you break away from Spiro to do that? And had we not done that and there was significant new news in either of those press conferences, then we'd be pilloried for not breaking away. So I appreciate your tolerance on that. Look, we got to talk about the way in which libertarians approach crime with one thing in particular in mind, and that is your stated position is we should be focusing on crimes of violence and crimes of fraud.
Right.
And that's where we should be focusing our efforts. That leaves unstated the long-standing libertarian approach to drug use, and that is basically the libertarian approach. It seems to me, and correct me where I'm wrong on here, is if somebody is smoking marijuana or doing cocaine or doing some other kind of drugs, then that's none of anybody else's business. Do I have that wrong?
Well, yes and no. When people ask me about drugs, I'm often amused because they say, would you legalize drugs? And I say, you know how many prescriptions were filled yesterday in drugstores? Millions. And if I'm a nice, respectable, middle-class citizen, I can take my Prozac or I can have three or four gin and tonics and relax, and it's okay. But if I'm a teenager, especially in a city, and I'm getting caught with a joint, I'm subject to go to jail. You know, Bruce, we didn't have any drug laws until 1913, and we had no marijuana laws until 1937. And if you read history, and I'm an avid history reader, and you read Tocqueville's classic, Democracy in America, at no time did they mention that drugs were a major problem. Government has made drugs a problem because they've criminalized it. I tell people, you don't see people pushing broccoli or celery down at the schoolyard, but they're sure pushing marijuana. And they can actually get it easier than they can beer. My wife, who just turned 70, was carded the other day in a restaurant in Waldorf. Because they have a law, and she was quite amused, and I think she was flattered. I think.
Oh, there is that. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I said, we're going to give this lady a big tip. But I think our drug laws, number one, we've got more prisoners in prison than any nation in the world. There's over 2 million in prison, another 4 million in the penal system. I was talking with the director of corrections for the state of Maryland, Sims, Mr. Sims, recently. We've got 26,000 young men who could be productive in prison. Half of them never committed a violent crime, never stole anything. They were riding in a car with another guy, and there was drugs in the car. And the DA says, well, we could get you for this and this, but if you'll plead guilty to this, you'll only get 3 years. And we're taking them off the street.
Well, sir, here's my concern. I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, and I don't want a society where there's somebody standing on the street corner near my kid's school selling marijuana. And I don't want a society where there's a kid four lockers down who has legal or illegal cocaine in his locker that they can take a snoot of between classes. That's not the kind of culture in which I wish to live. And while I accept your philosophical point of view, I don't know how to deal with the reality of my life, which is one of the terrors that parents have is that if one decriminalizes or legalizes drugs like marijuana and cocaine and crack and so forth, because they are mind-altering drugs, that what we are going to see is even wider use of these kinds of drugs by minors and by people who can do themselves great harm without realizing they're doing themselves harm.
Bruce, your concerns are legitimate, and I respect them. I'm a father. I have two sons. I have grandchildren. In fact, I have one of my grandchildren here in the studio with me today. I love them dearly. Believe me, if I thought for 1 minute that this was going to actually play out the way you say, I would be on your side from the beginning. Back in the early 1900s, a grandmother who was suffering from very, very painful illness that was not corrective in those days could send a little 8-year-old granddaughter to the drugstore and pick up
Laudanum.
Laudanum, yeah. Right, which was a tincture of opium. And in I've read a book, by the way, which I got strictly by accident. A friend of mine's wife found it at a book sale. It was written by the Consumers Union in 1972 called Licit and Illicit Drugs. It's tremendous documentation of the fact that when the Harrison Act was passed in 1913, it was not enforced in places like Kentucky. So all through the 20s, 30s, and 40s, we have thousands of cases where doctors and lawyers were drug addicts. In fact, I like to remind people that the most famous institution in the city of Baltimore is Johns Hopkins Hospital, and the founder was a heroin addict. And so was Freud, Sigmund Freud. He had a tremendous problem with his mouth. He was a cigar smoker, and he had cancer of the mouth. And in those days, he was in excruciating pain, and the only way he could function was because he could take heroin. So this is not true. This is like the mad scientist that you see on television that is going to destroy the world. There's never been a recorded case of a mad scientist destroying the world.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, take some phone calls, 410-467-WBAL.